Welcome to Twisted Plot Podcast. Here is your host, Evelyn Marley.
So welcome everyone to the Twisted Plot Podcast. I'm thrilled to introduce my friend Megan Murphy. She's renowned for her expertise in career coaching. If you haven't already followed her on LinkedIn, you might not know her yet, but you will because she is just out there giving these gems of information for your career. And currently she's using an innovative application of human design in her career development as a career and mindset coach, and she's been instrumental in guiding clients to discover their unique strengths and values, shaping those career-fulfilled paths. Megan, you and I first met at Lumia during our coaching certification, and I will never forget that I think we were partnered first for our peer coaching.
Yes.
Yeah. And just looking back at where we started to where we are now, it's been such a whirlwind of shifts, changes, this, ups and downs, but you and I have consistently met through these past almost 3 years in April, right?
I think so. Wow. Yeah. It really has been a long time.
Yeah. So I'm curious through that, I've seen you kind of grow, evolve, but what really, you know, plot twisted you into coaching or your decision to use human development in your coaching?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I've told this story several times and, you know, trigger warning, I guess I'll say for, you know, just comments about suicide. So at the time that I was presented with an advertisement for Lumia, I was extremely unhappy in my job. And so unhappy that, you know, I had many thoughts of, is this really all there is? Am I really going to live another, you know, 60, 70 years doing this work that's making me miserable? And as I said, I was sort of having thoughts of taking my own life at that time, and just happened to be on Instagram, which remains my escape, you know, for better or for worse. And saw a little ad for what type of life coach are you, right? And I majored in psychology. I've always loved a personality test. So I had to, right? And going through that process gave me a little bit of hope, right? Of, oh, maybe this is another option, something that would feel more meaningful, right? And took the leap into life coaching, where of course we met. And as you said, very first peer coaching partners. And here we are today, which is so funny to look back, and have been coaching really ever since. And so it was a natural application of my profession in HR to be a career coach. And so that's pretty much what I've been doing since that time. And it's only recently that I've really found human design in the last year or so and realized how it can be applied to help people find more professional purpose. And so my introduction to human design, also very similar to my introduction to coaching, you know, I learned about it through a friend and said, oh, this is a way that I can understand myself better. I have to know, I have to do it. And I've always approached human design with a skeptic's lens. So it seems, you know, I studied again psychology, research-backed studies, right? I'm passionate about the scientific method and all these things. And so there's always been a part of me that thinks, is this real, right? It's based off of your birth time, your location, and it's supposed to tell you all these things about yourself. So I've always taken it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But what has been fascinating and really encouraging for me to continue along this path is every single person I talk to about different aspects of their chart, it resonates with them, right? Very rarely have I had anyone say that doesn't fit. And it's very minute things that you wouldn't expect just your birth time and location to be able to tell you, right? Like what type of digestion is best for you, how your intuition speaks to you and works, the types of things that you might be interested in or the types of things that you might struggle with. And what's been extra fascinating for me is to find parallels between my human design as well as some of these more research-backed personality tests like Gallup Clifton Strengths and Myers-Briggs. I see my Clifton Strengths reflected in my human design. And so it's all of this positive reinforcement that keeps me going further and further down this path. And as skeptical as I was at the beginning, it's still very exciting to be less and less skeptical the more and more readings I do.
So interesting how you can, because these personality tests that, you know, people do, especially to identify where they would better fit for a career and in the recruiting space, and really getting a chance to sit down with people before they're even in the positions that they're in, you have a really tough job because you have to be able to really sit down with a person in front of you and identify, is this a fit? And then to take it the next step as a coach and to help people really have those conversations with recruiters so they know how to move beyond just a resume or just beyond, you know, the gatekeeper of whatever it is. It's really about connecting. And so I think that this is a really important type of, and I want to learn more about human design in general, but for you to be able to take this particular deep dive of self in a test form or using your birth chart, it's just a really interesting, and you and I have talked about science before and the woo, right? And having that healthy balance of both, because I believe that there is a healthy way to take these things, take what you need from it and leave the rest, as I always say. So take us through it. Tell us about human design and what it is. And I think you're going to be reading my chart. Like, you're going to be giving me a little reading here today, which I'm like smiling so hard I can't stand it because I'm excited to learn more about what the chart says.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to read your chart. And like we talked about before we started recording, when I saw it this morning, it made complete sense, right? Knowing you personally and all the different things that you're interested in. So just a brief explanation of human design. This is a relatively new system. It combines elements of many different spiritual or esoteric practices, including astrology and the Chinese I Ching, to create your energetic body graph. And so we have our physical body, right? We have arms, we have legs, we have an actual spleen, all these things. And then the human design philosophy is we also have an energetic body. And there are different centers in the body, different centers of energy that are similar to the chakra system, with a couple of additional ones. And depending on, again, birth time and location, the way our energy is expressed and the way we absorb the energy from others is different. So let's get into yours. I will pull it up.
Yes. Right. And by the way, listeners, we did not know this, but when we first started, you know, connecting and doing our peer coaching, but Megan and I have the same birthday, not same That's year, right. but the same exact birthday, which was kind of sweet, serendipitous, synchronistic, all the S's, because we were just really like, oh yeah, this totally makes sense why we want to just continue to hang out and have our conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love that every birthday I make sure to send you a little message and you send me a little message.
So sweet.
Lovely to be born. Yes. In the summer when we are.
Exactly.
Okay, great. So okay, taking a step back, there in human design, probably the most important thing for you to know if you don't know anything else about your human design chart is your energy type. So there are five different possible energy types that you can have. You are what's called a manifesting generator. So manifesting generators are about 35% of the population. And they, similar to peer generators, are here to do meaningful work. And so, you know, particularly when we talk about my coaching, these are the people I almost want to talk to most, because so many generators and manifesting generators have the capacity to do really incredible, really meaningful work. And a lot of it, they're just directing their energy to a career or a job that is not correct for them, not energetically correct for them. And so they're not able to, part of the role of generators and manifesting generators is to love what they do so much that it creates energy for the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And it builds this, they're like the little batteries of, of humankind, right? And I, as a projector who doesn't have a sustained source of energy, I can feed off my boyfriend, who's a manifesting generator, to kind of build my energy when I might otherwise be down. And so part of human design as well is we have these five different energy types. And the idea is that we should all live according to our type and our design in order to lift up humanity collectively. Mm. And so it's like humanity is one giant puzzle. And if we're all living our design, we're elevating humankind together. So it's kind of this really beautiful purpose behind really being who you are. And so as a manifesting generator, you are multi-passionate people. And so this is why I was laughing, knowing what I know about you. You're a coach and you have a podcast and you have your boundaries awareness and you have your regular routines and you're a mom. And there are all these other things about you that you're passionate about. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. I just can't get enough. Passion first. Yeah, I absolutely. That's so true. Just I sprinkle a little bit of everything in my life, but I feel really strongly about all the things that I choose to have in my life.
Yeah. And what can sometimes happen with manifesting generators, particularly when we talk about careers, is common wisdom says you need to pick one thing to focus on and get really good at that thing. And that's just not energetically correct for manifesting generators. So you may have found that you were really passionate about something and then your passion sort of faded. Mm-hmm. And if you continued to try and force it, you either felt really drained or even, you know, at the worst, potentially something bad happened. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I definitely can't put energy where it doesn't feel right because the something I might feel like I want to dive into, say, I can't even remember the last thing that I was really into. But if you ask my husband, he'd say like, oh, here we go.
Oh, your hot sauce.
Yeah, my hot sauce. My hot sauce story. You guys, ladies, gentlemen of Twisted Plot Podcast, I had this huge epiphany that I was going to be a distributor of hot sauce. I was going to create hot sauce because in Greece, they don't really have a hot sauce. And so I was going to make hot sauce so that they can sell it in Greece and become a hot sauce mogul. And I had bought the equipment. I told Megan, as I bought the equipment, I told my husband, he was just rolling his eyes like, here we go. And then one day I realized, I don't know. I think I need to live on an island to make hot sauce because I the fumes. And as soon as I got real about what it takes to make the hot sauce, I was like, I don't really think this is what I think. I'm passionate about bringing something to a place that doesn't have it, but I don't believe that I'm the person to do it. I feel more innovative than anything.
Mm, yeah, which makes sense because you have your Ajna center defined, which means you're an ideas person.
Oh, yes. That's it. That's totally me. Yeah. That's 100% me.
And we could get into that in a moment. But the last thing I'll say about manifesting generators and in following your passions is, again, common wisdom says you need to pick one thing and stick to it. That's not very accurate for manifesting generators. And one of my favorite things I always like to mention is Arnold Schwarzenegger is a manifesting generator. And if you think about his career, he had his bodybuilding career, he had his acting career and his politics career, and he's probably doing something else right now. And while he was going through these unique stages of his life, he probably didn't really know how these things were all going to connect, right? To ultimately help his career in politics. He was just following his passions. And so really great example of manifesting generators. A lot of the time as they're going through their lives and they're following their passions, they don't see how it all connects until they get to the top of the mountain and they can look back and see, like all these things connected to bring me to where I am now. And so part of the purpose of manifesting generators is to show the rest of us that there's another way to live and create your purpose and create like this ideal life for yourself that's not necessarily linear.
That resonates deeply, especially as a coach, because I think that a lot of the times there's this idea that you have to go a certain path. But in my experience, what I've seen, just like looking back at all the dots connected, like you said, it was out of my control. And I followed what felt the right at that time. And it served me to do so. Anytime that I felt a gut feeling of instinct that I shouldn't be anywhere, if I didn't follow that, there were problems. So there were definitely, and it's so true, because everyone thinks that you have to do things a certain way, or you have to, but it's just, I feel like there's another way for people, especially if they're trying to get to one place and they're like, well, but I have to do it this way and I have to go this way. What if we tried another path and see what happened, and see if that felt better for you to be on the same, in the same direction, but not necessarily the same footsteps that someone else took to get there?
Yeah. And especially, you know, again, from the lens of human design, what works for you as a manifesting generator 100% will not work for me as a projector. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I think it can be frustrating when we see wisdom online or from people that we respect, and we try and do things their way, that, and we know it doesn't energetically feel correct for us, right?
Yeah.
And so that's another thing I think is so powerful about human design, is understanding more about yourself gives you clues about how you can still accomplish your goals, right? Every single type can accomplish their goals. Every single type can get to where they want to go. It's just, there's different ways that work best for us to get there.
Absolutely. I'm full agreement.
So speaking of your gut instinct, since you just mentioned that, that's actually where we were going to go next.
Yes.
So believe it or not, not everyone has a quote unquote gut instinct. And so this was something that, again, me as a projector, I never identified with. I was like, where's my gut? I don't hear it. You know, like, are you there, gut? It's me, Margaret, right? Those of you who have a gut instinct, that's 70% of the population. And so that's why that's so common, right? For us to hear, oh, follow your gut. Your gut's not going to lie to you. So your gut is what we call in human design your authority, which is the best way for you to make decisions. And as a sacral authority, right, which just means your sacral center is colored in, which is the case for all generators and MGs, manifesting generators, you're an MG, you got a cute little nickname.
I love it.
As a sacral authority, you really need to listen to your gut. And a lot of the time, your gut will actually speak to you in sound. And so if you're really listening, you may actually feel like in your gut, you know, emotionally, internally, energetically, an uh-huh when a decision is right for you, or an uh-uh if it's not right for you.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm writing that one down
And, you know, depending on how long we've been alive and how long we've maybe not been listening to our guts, we might not hear it as strongly as we do when we're children. But I just was reading a book, actually, that said a lot of the time, generator and MG children are very sound-based beings. Like, they might kind of not use words all the time. They might be told a lot, oh, you need to use your words instead of their sounds. And all that is coming from the gut, again, according to human design. So kind of interesting, right? That it's sound-based. You might hear that sound. And when you feel that sacral, that's a good indication to you that a decision is correct. Something else I want to highlight about your specific decision-making process is you also have your spleen defined, which is your instinct. And so people talk about your instinctual voice like a match that speaks to you very quickly and just once. And so I like to share the story of my dad, who has his spleen defined. He has what he calls a spidey sense about things. So he'll think, I really should go out and check to make sure that the car is locked, or we maybe shouldn't go on that trip or get on the road until tomorrow. And he has done a really good job of listening to that throughout his life. But a lot of us do not, right? We're like, oh, I'm being silly. I don't need to, you know, listen to that voice. And what happens is that voice gets quieter and quieter and quieter until it almost doesn't speak to us at all. Mm. And so if you hear that voice, or maybe this is just an invitation to listen for that voice a little bit more closely, and when your instinct says yes, And when your gut says yes, both of those things working together, that's an extra good indication that a decision or a particular path is energetically correct for you.
I can think of a very specific time when I was younger where I think both were working at the same time. And I was met with, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? What is going on? And it was one of those defining moments for me because it was so out of pocket and so out of character for me to have been requesting something. Like I was telling my mom not to go out, and they would go out all the time. My parents would go out all the time. And this one particular night, I was so adamant about them not going out. Please don't go out. I was begging. I was crying. I was so upset. And she was just kind of like, just didn't know what to do with me at that stage. She was just like, you know, are you okay? We go out all the time. What's going on? And then something tragic happened the next day, not to my parents, but to a family member. And it was just wild because I think I definitely suppressed part of that myself or not listened to it anymore because of what I felt that night when it was just kind of like, boo, tossed to the side, like, no, stop, just leave it alone. Just leave us. It's like a normal, and it's not to her fault, but it was definitely one of those moments where I know those two things were working at the same time, Megan, for sure.
Yeah, to say, don't go do that.
Don't go do that.
Weird little spidey sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you bring up children, actually, because there's a lot of human design. And in fact, the founder even talked about this. It's really great to know your kids' human design types because it helps you parent them better. Mm-hmm. So manifestor children are different from manifesting generator children, and they need to be parented differently and encouraged to do things differently. And so had your mom known, right, you had your defined spleen and your defined sacral, she might have understood what was going on and might have either heeded it herself or at least been able to help you through your experience, right? So those of you who are listeners who have kids, you might find it valuable to look at your kids' charts as well.
And I will say she listened to me. If I had those moments afterwards, she was more inclined to be like, oh, what's going on? Is there a shoe about to drop somewhere? Like, what do we need to pay attention to? So she was more in touch with the fact that when I have those moments where I'm kind of not myself in saying those things, then it's like, okay, something must be coming or something must not be right. So,
yeah, absolutely. And so there's so much that we could talk about on your chart. Like we can literally talk for 8 hours, but I'll just say a couple more things. So one thing that I'll just say for you, Evelyn, as well as everybody listening is the thought in human design is that if all you know is your type and your authority and you follow those things to the best of your ability, the rest of your chart just sort of happens organically and naturally without you thinking too much about it. And so for you, Evelyn, if you like acknowledge that you're here to do many different things and to follow your passions and feel free to abandon your passions if you're not passionate about them anymore, and if you're listening to your gut and your spleen sort of together, the rest of your chart will just happen and you'll be living your purpose more so than if you chose not to do that.
I'm going to take that and put it in my pocket because I think that it'll be really handy and useful for future endeavors that I start to experiment with. So
yeah. Love it. So then the last two things I'll say specifically, because I know, you know, of course you love boundaries. You created Boundaries Awareness Day. And as we were talking about, this is one of the things that you're really known for.
Yeah.
You and I have this in common, which is an open or undefined identity center. And what this means is that we are chameleons a little bit. So you may have found, depending on who you're around, different parts of your personality shine, mm-hmm. right? And you may have, I know I at least, in my life have been like, am I two-faced? Like, am I like, you know, but it's not that. It's just that because we have, we don't have our own energy exuding from our identity center, we absorb and amplify the energy of others. Mm-hmm. And so when we're around either toxic people or people that have big personalities or big identities that don't necessarily mesh with ours, that can make us even act and behave in ways that we don't really, we're like, that wasn't really me.
Mm.
And so I think it's even more important for those of us that are undefined in our identity center to be mindful of who we spend time with, right? Because for us, especially the five people we spend the most time with are who we are, right?
Yeah.
For other people that have this defined, like my boyfriend, he's pretty consistent wherever he is, right? Like mm-hmm. he's the same person at work as he is at the yoga studio, as he is at home with me. I'm different depending on who I'm around, right? And so that was one thing I wanted to call out as well. And it's not wrong. In fact, we can be great connectors, right? Because we're able to sort of exude different parts of our personality and bring people together. We're able to be successful at a lot of different life paths, right? Because depending on who we're around, this is also the direction center. And yeah. So I know for me, when I'm at the yoga studio, I'm like, I'm going to be a yoga teacher forever and I'm going to open my own studio, right?
Yes.
And then when I'm really in Lumia, I'm like, I'm going to be an independent coach and I've got to build my own business. And then when I'm at my day job, I'm like, I'm going to be in corporate and I'm going to climb a corporate ladder, right?
Yeah.
And so just being aware that to surround ourselves with people who we like the direction of as well. Yeah, you were laughing. Does anything I shared resonate with you?
Yeah, because, and I think it's what makes us really mindful, empathetic coaches, right? When we talk about coaching, we talk about not necessarily letting our own story cloud the judgment of who we're coaching. And yes. So having that really open center to be able to take in what the other person is sharing, to be able to listen empathetically and to not then cloud my experience with whatever it is that they're sharing, but really just absorb and then reflect back. To me, it's just a superpower in a lot of ways. I'm not saying like toot toot my own horn here, but where it could be seen as, oh, you know, lack of identity, I also see it as a really strong tool for helping others in a people heart-centered way. And I love that. I love that. And I see so much power and strength in that. And power and strength in people that show up, like my husband's, he's the same. He shows up the same way every single time.
Yeah.
But I think that it's definitely why, I don't know if you get this, but people just randomly sharing their stories with you, just
yes.
out and about and just going deep in about 2 minutes. And I don't take that home with me. I don't sit there and think, why did they share their story? I was like, that's what just they needed to do in that moment. So
yeah, I'm glad that you've been able to have a healthy reaction to that because it can be, you know, because that's exactly right. We absorb the stories and the identity of others, and it can be difficult to be like, okay, I need to remove that. That's not a part of me anymore. And that's where things like rituals, I think, come in and really, really helpfully. And then because you talked about this, and this is the last thing I'll say on your chart, although I'm sure we'll talk about this for years to come. I think the other thing, talking about coaching and what helps make coaches like us extra empathetic, is you and I both do not have a defined emotional center. Mm-hmm. And this makes us what is called a non-emotional in human design. About 50% of us are non-emotional and about 50% of us are emotional. Neither one is bad. But what is nice as a non-emotional, and I'm curious if this feels like you, but for the most part, we're even. Unless something happens, we're pretty even. Mm-hmm. We don't just wake up in the morning like my mom is an emotional. And she has asked me before, you don't ever just wake up sad? No, I'm fine. You know, unless there's a sad thing that's happened, you know, going on in my life, or I've watched a sad movie. Or, you know, again, because we absorb the emotions from others, if somebody sad comes into our environment, we can pick up those emotions and kind of amplify them and feel these emotions and not know where they've come from. For non-emotionals, it comes from other people rather than emotionals, that those emotions come from inside. Go ahead.
I can see that and identify with it. I think when I was younger, I was more emotional than I am now. I have this specific memory of my brother going, you know, you're so sensitive or something. And I was crying, I'm not sensitive. But I believe that it only came up when an event happened that made me sad, or I watched something that moved me into sadness. But as far as waking up sad, I don't wake up sad. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder, like we were just talking about, because you're Cancer rising. You were really, as a young child, very Cancer.
I was very Cancer as a child. I was very Cancer. Like, just, what? I remember watching the movie West Side Story. I would watch that movie over and over again, because even though I knew at the end what would happen, spoiler alert, okay? It's a Romeo and Juliet movie, so they both die. But I would watch it and cry every time. My dad would be like, she's not watching that movie again, is she? My mom's like, yeah, she's watching it again. She's watching
it. Oh, no.
But I love that the movement of, maybe I did it on purpose because I wanted to have the emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be, because it feels good to cry, right? I have Pisces.
I love a good cry. Yes.
So yeah, I love crying.
I love a good cry. I think everybody should dedicate some time to crying if they haven't. I read somewhere today that maybe once a week would be a healthy amount for people to just carve out some time to cry. I'll have to find the article and fact check, but having a good cry is a release, and I highly recommend it for people.
Yes, I am there. I'm down to cry once a week. I'll make it part of my weekly ritual, set aside some time, calendar it in. But just to round out my thought here, because we're non-emotionals, I think that makes us great coaches, because we're able to see the emotions of our clients. And as you said, reflect them back or even feel them ourselves. So this is what makes, you know, you might have identified with the term empath at a time or another. And that's really what it is, right? Us non-emotional, sensing the emotions of others and like really being able to like put ourselves in that place. So I think these two things together, along with everything else in your chart and everything else in your life, of course, make you an excellent coach.
Oh, you had said before this session, that you see some things in the chart that you identify as like, oh, this totally makes sense why we're so connected. What specifically stood out to you, do you think?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a great question, because we have, as I've said, different energy types. We have different centers that are defined and undefined. But we have the same, what's considered like our most important channel or most important gate in our chart, which is gate 4, which is a logical mind. And so I was just reading about this recently, but it said, and I'm curious if this resonates with you, but we will think about things, and it just seems so obvious about why this is the right way to do it. And we just assume that everybody else sees it that way as well. And that's just not the case.
Yeah, I really identify with that. I mean, it makes me laugh just because. And then I kind of question, like, am I missing something?
Yeah.
Am I missing something as to why this might not be the case? And I overcomplicate it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes sense, right? Because we have this active, defined mind, and then we're like, oh, we're thinking all the time, right?
Yeah.
But for those of us that have that gate, you know, this logical mind, it's helpful for both of us as well that we also have this connection to the throat, and so we're able to speak the ideas and the logic that we have into existence, so that other people can be on the same page as us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Totally.
Which is not the case for everybody. Sometimes people have a logical mind and they can't talk about it. That sounds frustrating. So you and I have that in common.
Wow, I love that. And that makes sense why we sit there and we just kind of spitball ideas back and forth to each other.
Yeah. And I love this too, right? Because your number 2 gift is being an ideas person. Mm. And I think I've told you this so many times. I'm like, I have to hold myself back from texting you sometimes when I need like a name for something, right? Or I want like an idea for something, because you have so many great ideas. And that's your second gift here.
That one is definitely, could not be considered a gift if you ask my husband, because there are times when I'm laying in bed and I have come up with, you know, I'm the new Elon Musk or something. I'm like, we're going to the moon, because, and I just start spouting off all these ideas and he's just, I'm tired. Can I sleep? Can I please sleep now? So yeah. Yeah, but that's the best time for me. I don't know if I'm in that theta state and just all the ideas start flowing.
Mm.
But I will be half asleep and I will wake up in the morning and the first thing when I open my phone is just the notes app. And it's just these random thoughts that I had that I must have put in just half asleep.
Did they make sense when you wake up? Do you remember what you were thinking?
Some of them do, some of them don't. And I'm like, how do I cultivate this? Because I would like to know what I was thinking half asleep when I message that, when I text that.
Yeah, I wish that you could like audio note or something, and maybe it'll be easier to audio explain it.
They're going to come up with some chip or something, if they haven't already, that they're just going to be like, here, just put this in your brain, and then before you go to sleep, and it will pick up your ideas, and then we will put them in a PDF for you in the morning, and you can just start to run through which ones you want to take.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'll have it inserted. I love
patent
it.
Patent pending. Okay. Oh, so great. Well, this is really incredible, Megan. I'm curious as to, you know, if someone was to use this to help them identify career paths, right? How would you really then take them through a coaching session to get them to see where they can use these gifts or how they can use these, kind of like an assessment, but for their career coaching?
Yes, I love it. So where we start first is with energy type, right? So as a manifesting generator, I would work with you again, like we talked about, to understand you're here to follow your passions, right? And I talk to my boyfriend about this all the time. What are you passionate about? Can you do more of that? And trust that the career will come kind of as a result of it. Like you'll get money if you're doing what it is that you're passionate about. So that's kind of one piece of it. Another piece of it is to notice your authority. So to look at different options, right? And for generator and manifesting generators, a lot of the time you have to physically place yourself in an environment. So if you're interested in being a lawyer, can you go shadow, you know, somebody at a law firm or a doctor and go shadow somebody, you know, at a doctor's office and see if your sacral says uh-huh or uh-uh, right? Mm-hmm. And physically put yourself in those environments to see what the answers are. For myself, I have a mental authority. And so I have to like research and I have to collect a bunch of data. And then the one that mentally makes sense to me is the correct decision for me. It's complicated.
So not me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I would look at my client's authority and give them some suggestions based on that. And then sort of the last thing I would look at, and this was the other thing we have in common, which is very unusual because there's over 190 different possible incarnation crosses, and you and I have the same one.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
And so the incarnation cross is also known as a life theme, and it's basically your purpose on this planet in this lifetime, right? And so with human design, as well as some of these other schools of thoughts, the idea is, you know, your soul can reincarnate many times, right? And ultimately with the goal of being free, right? Reaching enlightenment. And we're here in this particular lifetime to do this particular thing, which is the incarnation cross. And again, in so doing, we sort of raise all of humanity if we're living our design and our incarnation cross correctly. So in your and mine case, we have what's called the cross of explanation, which is about taking our ideas that are often ahead of their time or unusual and speaking them into reality, explaining them in a way that kind of changes or lifts up the world or helps the world do something in a better way. And so for me, the way I'm living this right now is through connecting human design and careers, right? As far as I know, this hasn't been really something that we've been talking about. And I can see a very clear connection. And so I'm using my voice to explain it so that hopefully more people are able to look at their energy type and their incarnation cross and, you know, have more meaningful, fulfilling careers while living their life purpose. And so what I might do with a client is look at the incarnation cross and say, okay, Evelyn, your incarnation cross is the cross of explanation. This is what it means, right? You're supposed to take your ideas and communicate them. What possible career fields can you think of where you might be able to do that? Podcasting.
Definitely, because I'm here to, and not only my ideas, everybody's ideas, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. And so, and then kind of within that as well, getting back to the energy types, different types have different abilities to work. So again, like I mentioned, generators and manifesting generators, you can work for a long time on things that you're passionate about, which is awesome. The 8-hour workday was built for MGs and generators. Myself as a projector and the other two types, manifestors and reflectors, we don't have a sustained source of energy. And so we can't work all day. And so the best types of work for us is work that's in alignment with our type and everything else, but also work in which we don't have to work all day. So for myself as a projector, about 2 to 4 hours, they say, is about the output that we're supposed to be exerting. And the rest of the time can be spent learning or relaxing, but really not supposed to be exerting a ton of work. And so I'd be working with my clients to say, okay, what, you know, based on your type, what types of work would allow you to use your energy in the most effective way as well. So there's so much that goes into how you can use this information to really craft a career that's in alignment with your energy type, in alignment with your life purpose or incarnation cross, and in alignment with your authority.
I love this so much because as someone who's always constantly trying to help people preserve their energy through awareness, boundaries, and communication, this is a powerful tool that can get people closer to where they need to be. And also just to understand that there are other people with different charts and that are different from them that might not feel up to doing the same things. When we talk about boundaries, where like one friend's like, let's go out all night. And you're like, I can't do that because I'm exhausted or whatever, right? Beyond just the sun signs, this is really more detailed and specific and can really help give us insight probably to how to create more boundaries for yourself in order to preserve that energy. So very fascinating.
Yes. I love that you called that out, Evelyn, because my boyfriend and I have just this incredible relationship because we speak a lot about human design. So he is a manifesting generator, has a lot of energy, needs to do a lot of things throughout the day in order for him to be able to like end his day, feel like he's ready to get some rest. And he knows that me as a projector, I can't do all that much. Mm. And so he'll ask sometimes, you know, do you want to come do this with me? Do you want to come to this party with me? And if I say no, he respects it and he goes anyway because he needs to burn off some more energy and he lets me, you know, do my thing at home. He also does a lot more kind of the chores and things because he has a lot more energy than I do. Mm. And of course, I'm able to contribute in as many ways as I can. And one of those ways as a projector is helping him do the chores more efficiently so that he's not wasting a ton of time doing it. But, you know, we've been able to have this really great relationship with each other because we know each other's human design and respect each other's energy type.
Amazing, Megan. I'm so grateful that you were able to come here and share this and how you're applying this in your coaching practice. I know that there are a lot of people out there that are transitioning who need some extra guidance, especially not the basic guidance, right? Not the change my resume or how do I do this? Some deeper knowledge of finding careers that are more fulfilling or finding how to navigate relationships in a way that breeds more connection for them. So I think this would be really great. And I'm excited to see you as you develop this and you start to just put the word out there more. And I hope by coming here on this podcast, it gives you more exposure for people to come to you and get a reading, because that's my next question actually is, are you offering readings? Like what is going on and how can people find you? How can they work with you?
Of course, I'm offering readings. This is my favorite thing to do, is help people understand themselves better and do things that feel more purposeful and meaningful to them. So yes, I'm offering readings. I'm everywhere on all the socials and online. My website is meganmurphy.coach. That's the same as my Instagram handle and my TikTok handle as well. As you mentioned, I'm also on LinkedIn if you want just some more career advice. But yeah, absolutely. Would love a follow. I share a lot to help you understand more about your design just for free on my socials. And then if you wanted a personal reading similar to what I just did with Evelyn, would love to speak with you live. And you could book that session via my website.
Everyone go book now because she's going to be so busy. I just know it. I know that she has been getting more exposure from other people who have been getting readings. And so I would highly recommend going and booking a call with Megan. She is an extremely mindful, empathetic, soulful, real, integrity, just all the things. So please go book a call with Megan. And yeah, I'm excited to see what comes of it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing today. Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me. And, you know, as we talked about, as a projector, my strategy is to wait for the invitation. So I'm grateful that you invited me, or I wouldn't be here.
Oh, and I didn't even get to share that story of when we were having our call. We were just talking and she was talking about human design. This is how passionate she was when she was talking about it. I was locked in. I was just focused on the way that she was describing human design and what it means and what it can do for people. And I was very struck that, like you said, the I was like, oh, come on my podcast and talk about this. And she said, yes. Oh my gosh. Awesome. I'm so excited to come and talk about this. And I said, you want to be on my podcast? And she, what did you say? You're like, yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do it probably for years since I knew you had a podcast and you were doing interviews. But I was like, just going to wait. You know, if it's meant to happen, she'll ask me. And if it's not, I'll do something else. So I'm grateful that you asked me and I've loved the opportunity to be here.
So fun. We'll have to have you back because I just enjoy our conversations in general. And I think that we can come up with a bunch of more innovations just by having and sparring and having that conversation together. So thank you again. Totally. Please come back again.
I would love to. I would love to.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next time. And remember, stay twisted.